Mischke Broadcast, Black Sheep Broadcasting Network. Hey, want you folks moving out to Silicon Valley to know that the real estate prices are out there are really spiraling out of control despite the state of the economy. There's a story from today's New York Times. The ranch-style house on a corner lot in the Silicon Valley was listed for sale at $1.1 million. It was a fixer-upper that needed a ton of work, assuming it would not be torn down completely. Yet within 3 days, the house had 27 offers, most from buyers eager to pay cash, and it ended up selling for $1.8 million, a trashy fixer-upper that probably was just going to be torn down. The sale sounds like something that took place 2 years ago when the dot-com economy was soaring, but it occurred 2 weeks ago. Amid a regional downtown in which unemployment is up markedly, an individual net worth has plunged in lockstep with the NASDAQ stock market. What is it going to be like in the Silicon Valley when the economy gets going great guns again? The real estate market out that way, after a brief cooling off period, is sizzling. It's out of control. Close to $2 million for a dump you're going to tear down. I once lived in a box. That was a fixer-upper. But it was free. Guy at a grocery store gave it to me. I think it had housed several pounds of frozen meat that had been delivered by a butcher. I turned it into a tidy little bungalow, as I recall. Hung a picture of Paul Bunyan on the inside wall there. Wasn't quite enough room for Babe, the blue ox. So I cut him off the picture and gave Babe to my neighbor, who lived in a box that said Kenmore on it. Except the letters were upside down. Anyway, he put the picture of Babe, the blue ox, right there in his front yard with a sign that read, "Beware of the blue ox." I thought that was kind of clever. No one ever messed with that guy, though. But me, I'd have people knocking on the side of my box at all hours of the day, usually Jehovah's Witnesses, maybe Mormons. One time an encyclopedia salesman stopped by, and I told him he could come on in. There wasn't enough room in my joint for that 26-volume Britannica set. But he was a good salesman. He was a real good salesman. He said, with a little mortar, I could use the encyclopedia set to reinforce my north wall, help protect my home from inclement weather. Which was true, so I bought the set. I wonder if he used that argument with all his customers. I didn't have a kitchen or bath in my box. I had a family room, housing a family of mice. I remember I tied one mouse to a shoestring, put it out in my front yard there with a sign saying, "Beware of Mouse." Had it there a couple of days and then realized it wasn't as cool as having a blue ox. So I spray-painted the little thing. That pisses them off, by the way. I don't know if you've ever done that with a mouse. Didn't have much of a job back then. I was considered mayor of my little sort of a landfill community, but it wasn't a salaried position. We had 13 boxes in the neighborhood. 12 were houses. One was a library. We had 3 magazines, 10 books, and a drunken librarian named Shimmer, and he was a Korean War vet. He lost his marbles over there, I guess. Said he accidentally killed his commanding officer. Sentenced himself to a life of poverty for that infraction. It was an accident. I always thought he was a little hard on himself. He was a good librarian, though. And the books we had there were, let's see if I remember, Masterpieces of World Philosophy in summary form, The Aeneid by Virgil, Sinclair Lewis's Elmer Gantry, All Quiet on the Western Front, and The Idiot's Guide to the Stock Market, along with some Penguin classics and some back issues of Motor Trend magazine. It was a hard life. But it was a good life. It really was. It was an honest life. We had a block party once a year and roped off the area with twine. I met my wife there. She was a social worker. She wasn't coming to help us out when I met her. She said she was moving at the end of the month and wondered if we could spare any boxes. I gave her my whole house. And she was grateful, and we ended up dating. I remember I asked her if she was just dating me out of pity. And she said, of course she was. On our wedding day, I asked if she was marrying me because she felt sorry for me, and she said, what other reason could there be? But she still has that box. She kept it. She wants to give it to the Minnesota History Museum in case I ever become famous. But enough about my life, huh? In Silicon Valley, things are different. People stampede to bid millions on dilapidated fixer-uppers that need to be torn down. How can you want to live in Silicon Valley that badly, huh? Silicon Valley, the place sounds hideous. Silicon Valley. Now the Shenandoah Valley. That sounds beautiful, but Silicon. Why would you name a valley Silicon? It's a tetravalent non-metallic element that occurs in combined form as the most abundant element in the Earth's crust outside of oxygen. It's used mainly in the form of alloys. But it doesn't sound neighborhood friendly. It doesn't sound like you'd have a garage sale around it. Sounds vaguely carcinogenic, actually. Turns me off. I wouldn't pay $50,000 to live there. I wouldn't pay $1.7 million to live there. I just wouldn't live there. After a year, I'd expect my skin to glow. It sounds like the atmosphere is poison. The neighbors bark, and the pets in the area burrow in the sand and suffocate themselves. They all got chronic wasting disease or something. But it all happens in nice little ranch-style homes that need a little work. I miss my box just thinking about it. My front doors were French-style replicas with duct tape for hinges, which they're still good to this day. And unless you had 20-mile-per-hour winds, that house of mine did not move. Did not move. But when it was blowing around, I always found it. Felt a little sorry for that mouse I had tied to it. I'd come home in the evening, find the box 3 blocks down an alley, and the mouse would just be lying there depressed. I thought it was blue before. And I'd say, hey, I'll cheer you up. And I'd clean his fur with turpentine. And that makes a mouse look funky, huh? The blue paint is still kind of in there. It's just washed out now, and it faded. And my pals, they told me I had the only punk rock mouse in the Bowery. And I kind of liked that idea. So I gave the little guy 12 body piercings. Of course, then he was more heavy metal. But he's dead now. My next-door neighbor put him in a fondue when I wasn't looking. That's all right, though. I got even. Scribbled all over his blue ox picture there. Profanity, mostly. Stuff like that. So his mother wouldn't visit anymore. She never did come back. We called it even. Even Steven.